Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Monday afternoon. It is a holiday for many of you all. Of course, it is President's Day 2020, and you're enjoying that three-day weekend, a weekend that brought about some interesting storylines in the world of local sports and, of course, beyond. Of course, it was NBA All-Star Weekend out in Chicago, Illinois, and I had an opportunity. It was pretty cool. I got a chance to go out there to witness the NBA All-Star Weekend. No, I did not get tickets. I don't have connections like that. But just being there along with, you know, some of my college buddies and some friends, my stepdad even flew in. It was a really, really fun time, man. So I'm going to tell you what my experience was like there. And I'm going to talk to you about the All-Star Game, because the All-Star Game was, in my opinion, the most entertaining All-Star Game that we have ever seen. All right, so we'll get to that. We'll have some All-Star chatter, but I want to talk about two local stories coming out of the camp of East Lansing, Michigan, pertaining to Michigan State football and Michigan State basketball. I do want to address the latest when it comes to Mel Tucker, who is the newest head coach, the 25th head coach in Michigan State football history. He was named officially as the new head man in charge last week. You all know that. We covered it extensively. And now Mel is trying to figure out, okay, who are my assistant coaches going to be? I'm going to give you the latest update when it comes to that search from Mel Tucker. And also, I want to address a few national headlines that are still addressing how Mel Tucker decided to leave the University of Colorado and come to East Lansing. Got a few things that I would like to address, all right? So we'll get to that. Also, your Michigan State men's basketball team, it's safe to say now, with five regular season games remaining, your Spartans are not going to win the Big Ten title. Barring some kind of epic collapse when it comes to those who are currently holding down the fort, Maryland and Penn State, Michigan State is not going to win the Big Ten title. It's a point I made last week. And with this latest loss for the Spartans, Maryland going on a 14-0 run to close out that game in the second half, leading to a Michigan State loss, we need to address a few things pertaining to how the rest of this season will pan out. Again, five regular season games remaining, the Big Ten tournament knocking on the door, and, of course, the Big Dance right around the corner. Got to comment on that. Also, as we have in each Monday, Connor Mathis of the Argus Press, he is with us, manning this ship from behind the glass, and he has been covering, probably the main reporter covering this, the whole Langsburg and Potterville boys basketball scoring dispute. There is a new update concerning that story, and Connor is going to break it all down for us, as well as being a part of the show as a voice, commenting on things like MSU men's hoops, the NBA All-Star Game. I don't think we got Connor's thoughts on the hire of Mel Tucker, because he wasn't with us last week. So we'll address all of that and so much more. If you would like to be a part of the show, multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Also, and also I'm seeing here, you can weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few of you already doing that. And Mike, right as I'm pubbing our Facebook page, says, is it too early to talk about NCAA seeding? No. With five regular season games remaining, I'm going to address that, Mike, and you'll get my thoughts on where I think Michigan State will be come tourney time, all right? So you can weigh in there, just like Mike and James, and I see Ben is watching as well, many of you chiming in now. You can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, and also you can text that same number that I just told you to call in to weigh in at, 517-355-WKAR. You can now text that number as well if you would like to be a part of the show. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, let's start here, folks. The Michigan State men's basketball team, as I just touched upon, they ended up falling at the hands of the Maryland Terrapins, the team right now holding down that top spot in the Big Ten Conference. They look like, again, barring some crazy collapse, they look like they are going to win the Big Ten regular season championship. That's just a really good team, but Michigan State, I thought, had this game in the bag. At the end of the day, though, it was a 67-60 final in favor of Maryland. Michigan State initially fell behind big, but the Spartans had overcome what was a 15-point first-half deficit by outscoring Maryland 29-14 to start the second. As a result, they were up 60-53 with 3:09 left. But then Maryland made threes on four straight possessions, the first coming from Jalen Smith, the following three coming from the baller that is Anthony Collins, and sank two free throws on a fifth possession to close out that run. Again, 14-0. This is what Tom Izzo said afterward. Quote, give Maryland credit. Championship teams make championship plays down the stretch. The Spartans will get back into Big Ten action Thursday at Nebraska with an 8:30 p.m. tip time on Fox Sports 1. Also, the Michigan men's basketball team made short work of Indiana at home yesterday, beating the Indiana Hoosiers 89-65. The Wolverines started the day tied for 10th in the Big Ten Conference with Indiana and Minnesota. With the win, Michigan improved to 7-7 in the Big Ten, 16-9 overall, tied for 8th, and just one game in back of being tied for 5th. And also, shout out to the Wolverines baseball team, starting 2020, ranked by Baseball America as the number 8 team in the country. But looking at the overall ranking in the Baseball American poll, not only is Michigan number 1 in the country, it's the first time a Big Ten team has also had that distinction. How about that? The Michigan baseball team ranked number 1, numero uno, in the country. That's pretty awesome stuff for Wolverines fans out there. All right, I want to let you know that the Michigan State women's basketball team will be in action tonight, concluding its two-game homestand, hosting Minnesota at 7 p.m. The Spartans snapped a five-game losing streak with a hard-fought 57-53 win against Rutgers on February 13th. With five regular season games remaining, MSU is looking to move up in the Big Ten standings, currently sitting at 10th with a 12-12 overall record and a 5-8 Big Ten mark. All right, the Michigan State hockey team and the Michigan Wolverines hockey team. We meet again tonight at 7 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit as a part of the Duel in the D. Michigan State is trying to avenge Friday's 5-1 home loss to Michigan. That was a bit disappointing. We all know how interesting this Big Ten battle is in Big Ten hockey, and Michigan getting that 5-1 dub over Michigan State. That was a bit shocking reading that final score there. So we'll see what happens tonight at 7 p.m. Also, want to pass along some news concerning Mel Tucker and his, you can't even say a full week. It'll be a full week later on this week at, you know, Wednesday. But Mel Tucker has landed his first recruit, I guess, of his tenure as head coach of Michigan State football. And this is kind of a hybrid recruit because Jordan Simmons, this was a player that was also targeted by Mark D'Antonio and Mel Tucker. Again, he got the job done here. But Jordan Simmons, who is a three-star running back out of Georgia, he had the latest signing his national letter of intent with Michigan State. That's after Coach D retired on February 4th. On Sunday night, last night, he put pen to paper, unveiling the announcement via Twitter, saying, quote, "It's official, hashtag go green." On February 12th, Michigan State hired Mel Tucker as part of, again, a new era of Michigan State football, a new football coach, 25th in program history. It was the move that might have given Simmons the reassurance that he needed. This is what, in an interview during the weekend with Sports Illustrated Spartans, Spartan Nation, this is what was said, quote, "Overall, I think he's a good hire for the program. I think Coach Tucker brings everything to the table to be able to turn the program around and do great things for the program. So overall, I think it's a great hire for Michigan State to make." So there you have that. All right. Also, want to let you guys know, because I thought initial reports out there were saying that these brothers, along with the entire cabinet of Mark D'Antonio's coaching staff, would not be back. But that doesn't seem to be the case here, because Mike Tressel and Ron Burton are reportedly remaining on the defensive staff for Michigan State's football team. The team announced that via Twitter on Saturday, that those two assistants will be back. A team spokesman said Burton will coach the defensive line and Tressel's role is yet to be determined. And this was some troubling and unfortunate news that I got word of on Saturday. When I was out in Chicago just talking with a good friend of mine, he let me know about Keith Appling and his latest run-in with the law. Keith Appling is a player that I covered and got to know well during his time as the starting point guard for Michigan State men's basketball. And this has just really been a tough chapter for him. Keith Appling is now facing drug charges. The 28-year-old Detroit native, he was arrested on February 8th after being stopped by police in Warren, Michigan. That's according to Warren Police Commissioner Bill Dwyer. Appling was pulled over after officers saw his vehicle weaving in and out of lanes. A golf ball-sized amount of heroin, 19 grams, was found in a sandwich bag in a pocket of the car. Dwyer confirmed to the Detroit Free Press that news. Appling was charged with delivery or manufacture of less than 50 grams of a controlled substance and driving without a license. It's really tough stuff. We, of course, will be following that story and giving you guys any updates that we hear on the show. All right. And this is just a fun weekend, man. It was a great weekend for the NBA All-Star festivities. And Chicago did it right. Again, I'll have more on the NBA All-Star game later on this hour. But The skills competition winner on Saturday was Miami Heat forward Bam Adebayo. The three-point contest winner was Sacramento Kings guard Buddy Hield from the Bahamas. Also, Lou Ross Tum-Tum Naren Jr., his best bud. Dunk contest winner was Miami Heat forward Derrick Jones Jr. And when it came to the All-Star game, we saw Team LeBron beat Team Giannis 157-155. And I tell you what, everybody that was skeptical about this new format, I know I was a bit like, oh, this seems like they're doing a little bit too much here. It worked to perfection. It was great. And that last stanza, that fourth quarter, was the most competitive basketball in NBA All-Star game history. It was pretty amazing. I have more on that fourth quarter and more on the weekend in just a moment. I also want to give a big shout-out to the 2020 NBA Rising Stars Game MVP, which happened to be former Michigan State star forward Miles Bridges, who led the United States over the world in the Rising Stars Challenge. Really cool how they do that. They take the USA and pit them against, you know, the world players in that game. Great concept because there are so many great international basketball players that have come to the association and really set it on fire. So Miles Bridges getting that MVP award, awesome, awesome stuff. As he continues just to get better and better, man. Awesome stuff from Miles Bridges. I love seeing that as well come across the feed on my phone. All right, and this is some rather shocking news. John Beilein, who, as we all know by now, he left the position of head coach of the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team prior to the start of this season. Juwan Howard is in his first year as head coach of the program. Johnny B left because he wanted to test his waters in the NBA as head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, it looks as though he could be on his way out of Cleveland, according to reports on Monday from The Athletic and ESPN. The former Michigan basketball coach is considering stepping down as head coach of the Cavs by the end of All-Star break, which is, oh yeah, that's right now. League games will resume on Thursday, so we'll see if there's any developments on that story prior to Thursday. But, you know, John Beilein, there's just been a lot of drama. I know the report that came out earlier this season, it talked about how John Beilein was maybe losing the locker room. There was some bickering between players, and it's Cleveland. The Cavaliers, after LeBron James left, just went down the toilet. This is a team that has so many question marks and so many problems. It's a tough place to win unless you do have LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time. So, yeah, there's that news. Shocking stuff. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number you can call and text, or text, I should say. And you can weigh in at Facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is there. Many of you already weighing in below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin. WKAR, and again, if you have any thoughts on NBA All-Star Weekend, would love to hear from you guys. Those that sat and watched that game were thoroughly entertained. And I also want to know your thoughts on MSU men's basketball, because with five games remaining, Michigan State's not winning the Big Ten championship. That's out the window. You know, and I think right now what we're seeing from this team is who they are going to be as we approach postseason action. Am I wrong? Argue otherwise. 517-355-WKAR. All right, let's keep it moving.
Cowan for three. And Maryland is back on top.
That was all made possible by the fake. Maryland cannot settle here, Dan. They've got to get something going toward the basket. Put Michigan State in a position to foul you.
Shot clock is at six. It'll be Cowan for three again.
Wow. Big time player.
Really, Jay, at this point of the season, make it look like a two-team race for the Big Ten regular season title. What a win for the Terps.
takes him down low, lost his footing, may have traveled.
We got a call. Defense without fouling. How many times have you heard that from coaches, Grant? Can you play defense without fouling?
Braun played by Giannis.
Captains guarding one another.
There's a pass to Davis, and we got a whistle. A foul is called, so Davis to the line. He can win it.
Way to make it interesting there, Anthony Davis.
An all-star game that has to be considered very successful because of what took place in the fourth quarter.
Folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. After that that brief moment, which you heard some audio of two big moments. The first one, just tough for Spartan fans. It was just an overall tough weekend for Michigan State fans out there. You know, the Friday night blowout loss at the hands of the Michigan hockey team, that was tough. That was a tough pill to swallow. You know, I hopped on Twitter and there were many annoyed Michigan State hockey fans voicing their displeasure with that performance as well. And, you know, you just heard the audio of the Michigan State men's basketball team falling to Maryland. Maryland going on that 14-0 run to close out the game and get the win over the Spartans. In my view, totally taking them out of the Big Ten championship discussion. You know, and before I talk Michigan State basketball, we also got news over the weekend that Kentucky assistant football coach Vince Morrow, that was one of the sexy conversations of last week, right? Mel Tucker was going to target Vince Morrow, who is an unreal recruiter. Mel Tucker was going to target Coach Morrow to be a part of his assistant coaching staff, but Morrow, he picked Kentucky over Michigan State. So, and he had a funny quote over the weekend. He said, quote, "Now I know how recruits feel." Michigan State came hard. You know, also, I saw that it was reported that Cincinnati defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman also turned down an offer to join Mel Tucker's staff. So Michigan State fails to pry Luke Fickell's defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman. And, it was called a quote-unquote significant attempt by Michigan State to hire Coach Freeman. But Freeman decided to stay put. Look, I get it. You know, there are a lot of people. You know, we're so reactionary in sports. There are a lot of people immediately voicing their displeasure and saying, oh, my goodness, does anybody want to come here, you know, other than Mel Tucker, who got paid a pretty penny to come here? Does anybody want to come to Michigan State? You got to realize this, folks. The timing is incredibly, incredibly bad. Again, we are just around the corner from spring football. Signing days in December and in February are now said and done. Recruits know where they're going. Right now you are, you know, really right in the thick of things when it comes to preparing for next season. So it is hard to pry some sexy assistant coaching name to come to East Lansing right now. You know, there are some that are listening to this and saying, well, Al, didn't they just get $6 million to play with, to pay assistant coaches? Yeah, I understand that. But you, when you divvy that up, you can't pay one of these assistants like $1.5 million for a year. That's just not possible. You got to do the math here. The timing's bad. The timing is not bad. It's horrible. This is like the worst timing ever. But Mel Tucker is trying to swing for the fences here and get some guys to come in that he believes is going to do a great job. Now, as you heard in the headliners, you got Coach Burton and you got Coach Tressel, who are going to remain on the defensive staff. But when it comes to trying to, you know, woo these assistant coaches, you know, like Morrow and Freeman. And for Freeman, I totally get it from his perspective. When it comes to Morrow, you know he's trying to prep for next year with Kentucky. You know, he's a great recruiter, so he doesn't want to let down these recruits that he's already recruited and made promises to. Coach Morrow doesn't want to do that. All right, and when it comes to Tucker, look, Mel Tucker got paid. They doubled his salary to come here, so you understand that move. When it comes to Marcus Freeman, I mean, Marcus Freeman is a 34-year-old defensive coordinating stud under Luke Fickell. And the name Luke Fickell is pretty big right now. You better believe that pretty soon Luke Fickell is going to move on to bigger and better, quote-unquote, bigger and better pastures. Bigger program, more money, that kind of thing, right? We already know that. Michigan State tried to recruit him to come here. Marcus Freeman is looking at his situation and saying, okay, why would I go to Michigan State and have to work under another head coach in Mel Tucker and continue to wait for my opportunity to become a head coach when I may have a real good chance of staying here in Cincinnati, waiting for Luke Fickell to make his move, and then I may be interviewed for that job and may become like a 35, 36-year-old head coach out in Cincy. I mean, come on, man. Let's just think about that. So, Spartan fans, you gotta temper the expectations a little bit here. You know, and because the national media out there, I just feel like they're rooting against Michigan State now. Michigan State has become a villain in the world of college football because there are so many stories out there right now. You know, I saw my fraternity brother put out an article to our, we had like a group message. He put out an article from Sports Illustrated, which detail the final hours of the Mel Tucker decision to leave Colorado. I mean, you got to read it. I mean, it's by Ross Dillinger and Pat Ford of SI, and it's entitled, quote, "We were hoodwinked inside the final hours of Mel Tucker as Colorado's head coach." And it details what that donor event was like, Mel Tucker being there and shaking the hands of about 20 plus donors and saying that I'm ready for next year. It's got one source saying that I could see in his eyes something was off, that he was lying to me. Like, it's pretty funny. Some parts are pretty comical when you read it. And Craig Poulter, who's some kind of longtime Colorado season ticket holder, Colorado native, that's where they get that "we were hoodwinked" quote from, because he says, quote, "We were hoodwinked. Mel misled us. I believed in him." Again, who knows the tone that he said it? That's just how I read it when I read that quote. It's like, dude, like I said, I keep beating this horse. Like, if anybody came to your job and said, "Hey, John Smith, over here, we'll double your salary, and we're also provide some extra money here and extra money there to do some things." I mean, the deal, it was an offer, to steal a line from The Godfather, it was an offer that Mel Tucker could not refuse. And if he did refuse it, I think he would need to have been checked into a mental hospital to see if he had all of his nuggets up there. People don't understand that, though. Colorado, I get it. They got the right to be mad. Colorado has the right to be mad. You know, you feel misled. You feel, quote-unquote, hoodwinked. Cool, I get it. I understand that. You know, especially out there with the recruits and everything like that. I get it. But, you know, you got to attack this from a logical standpoint. What really surprises me is the national media's response to this. You know, it's like they don't understand it, which I don't get. You know, I just think that they're, you know, they're trying to get clicks and controversy is what sells, especially here in 2020. You know, when you got a quote, we were hoodwinked. Oh, what's that about? Let me check that out. You know what I mean? People want to click on that. You know, it's all about clicks right now and not looking from a logical standpoint. But again, you got to temper the expectations. Next season, Mel Tucker isn't going to lead this team to the promised land. It's going to take, I think if they make some kind of bowl game next season, that's considered a success. I think that's overperforming, if you ask me, because there are so many question marks. But, the national media is going to play right into that. Oh, yes, you over. That's the big narrative right now. You overpaid for a 5-7 coach last year in his first year at Colorado. You overpaid. Only time will tell if we overpaid. Right now, I like to hire a lot. Now that I got that off my chest, let's address, one of those snippets in that intro alongside with also the other soundbite you heard was the final moments of last night's NBA All-Star game, which I'll get to in just a sec. Before I push forward here, Connor Mathis is behind the glass. We haven't heard from Connor yet this hour. Happy Monday to you. It was also, wow, I forgot about this. Valentine's Day was on Friday. Connor, do you have a Valentine? Did you do anything?
I was working Langsburg Potterville. That was my Valentine, Al.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
I had basketball that night. That was right. All I did. I didn't get back home until around 1, so I was cashed.
You were definitely grinding, brother. So, hey man, you were working. And we're going to get to in just a moment because I have it right in front of me, those watching the live stream right now. Connor's piece that was published 3 days ago, the CMAC has reached a conclusion to this Langsburg and Potterville scoring dispute, which we'll get to in just a moment. That's a tease. We'll get to and you've been really, I think, the reporter following this thing, and we'll get to your piece in just a moment because I know a lot of people who haven't been following the story and may not be subscribers to the Argus Press or may not follow you on social media. I know many of my listeners would like to know how this thing has ended. I think ended.
ended.
But for you, we haven't, when we had you on, you were engineering the show last Monday. And of course, that was before Mel Tucker came out. The news came out that Mel Tucker was going to be the 25th head coach of Michigan State football. And I just want to get your reaction. Where were you when you got the news? And your reaction to what I just stated concerning the national media's take on this. Have you been reading the same things I have been reading? Because, again, this SI piece that was put out by, again, Pat Ford and Ross Dillinger is just a small slither of the articles that I've seen out there bashing Tucker and the way he left Colorado.
Okay, here's the thing. For me, the hire, I think it is the best of making it. It was making the best of the worst possible scenario of, holy crap, we don't have a coach. We need to scramble. We need to find one. And you found one that, has a successful history, has NFL experience, which how many college coaches are you going to grab last minute that have NFL experience? I think I like the hire. I'm lukewarm on it. To see where it goes. For me, if he gets 6 wins in 2020, oh my goodness, that'll be a huge deal for me. I understand Colorado fans being pissed off. I understand Colorado boosters being pissed off. If you have a direct tie to the University of Colorado, I understand your anger. That makes sense because he left, after saying he wouldn't. That makes sense. But for the kind of demonization of Michigan State for poaching this guy. Wake up, people. This has happened so many times. It's college football. That's what happens with coaches all the time. I mean,
right.
It happens, in the SEC, it seems like every year where the talent's getting poached from all these other places. So I don't understand necessarily the national outrage behind it and the, you overpaid. But, the whole narrative of you've overpaid, well, you kind of had to. Because, yeah. Again, it's last minute, and you did not want to be the school that got stuck having to appoint an interim head coach because everyone declined it. Everyone right. declined the job. And that would have been a lot worse of a look.
For sure. Definitely. And, I think just, you in a story like this, it's kind of hard to take off, in this case, Colorado goggles, right, and kind of look at it from a perspective, okay, we kind of understand why he left because, again, it kind of reminds me of when Nick Saban, how Michigan State fans feel about the way Nick Saban left here. It's always going to sting just a little bit. It's a part of your fandom, and you have the right to do that. What I want to do right now, though, we need to have a come-to-the-altar moment for the Michigan State fan base. those who root for Michigan State basketball who are not happy with this team. I want you all to come to the altar, and I am going to address the congregation because there are a few things concerning this team that we just can't change. And I believe that right now what you are seeing with five regular season games remaining, that's what you're going to get. All right, so stick around. I'll wait while you guys approach the altar. You are listening to today's Monday, President's Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Time to talk some Michigan State men's basketball. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Michigan State fell to Maryland. College game day was in the house this Saturday. I saw a few of our current sports family posting on Facebook that you were in attendance for ESPN's college game day. I also saw some people on Twitter commenting about the broadcast feed cutting out at certain moments. Apparently, there were some technical difficulties with the ESPN crew, and there was something going on with the audio, and a lot of people were just disappointed. So, that happened. But, it's always cool to see Michigan State on the national stage, ESPN coming to town with guys like, Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg and Reese Davis and the crew, but Michigan State right now with this 67-60 loss falls to 17-9 on the year, 9-6 in conference. And folks, this team is not winning a Big Ten regular season championship. And if it wasn't for some last second heroics on the part of Xavier Tillman, I mean, we could have been looking at a 5-game losing streak as they now prepare to hit the road on Thursday against Nebraska. One win in the last 5 games for Michigan State men's basketball, dating back to the Wisconsin loss right after the Northwestern win. Illinois, that was Cassius Winston driving the lane off the glass on the missed layup and Xavier Tillman saving the day, putting on his Superman cape for the rebound and in-air jam, 70-69 there. But we could have been talking about a 5-game losing streak, but when you look at these last 5 games, a key stretch, they lost 4. They have lost 4 of the last 5 games. And right now, again, it's only 5 more games left in the regular season. You play Nebraska, then you come back home to play Iowa on the 25th, then you're on the road for 2 straight against Maryland again. You got to meet that team again. And then against Penn State, a team, wow, Penn State's got it all right now. And Pat Chambers, that team is bought in to Pat Chambers, and nobody wants to see Penn State right now. Then they finish out the year against Ohio State. All ranked matchups other than Nebraska. Iowa's 20, Maryland at 7, Penn State at 9, Ohio State at 25th, and no, Michigan State was not ranked. Michigan State is not ranked for another week due to the loss against Maryland. If they beat Maryland, they were going to be ranked, but they lost to them. They are not in the top 25. They are just on the outside of the top 25 looking in at 27th. excuse me, in the nation. But there's so many things going wrong with this team. And it's the same old, these are the same old problems. I'm not sitting here talking about new problems that have developed in the final moments of the Big Ten schedule here. These are the same problems that we've been talking about really since the beginning of the season. Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman not getting help. We've been beating that horse to death. They were the only two Spartans who were in double digits on Saturday. 18 points for X. And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, Connor, but I did see a post alluding to X having the birth of his child, his son, his first son. So congratulations to Xavier Tillman. He's a great young man. He's married. I mean, my goodness, talk about mature, right? Kyle Orange is also married on this team. Two married players on the same team. That's amazing. So congratulations to Xavier Tillman for the birth of his son. But again, X and Cash were the only two players in double digits. Aaron Henry had 9 points. He was not great from the floor. 4 of 11, 0 for 3 from deep. Malik Hall, he's worked himself into the starting lineup right now, but I don't know, need to reevaluate that because he was basically non-existent. 0 points for him. He just played 7 minutes. Rocket Watts, 2 of 8, 5 points, 25 minutes for him. You know, with Rocket, he's still so young and raw as a freshman that, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get on a game-by-game basis. That's just the inconsistency that is a young player. Aaron Henry, way too inconsistent. And right now, what we see is what we get with Aaron Henry. You know, I had some hope at the middle of the year that it was going to click for Aaron and something was going to emerge and he was going to be that bona fide third scorer for this team, but he just isn't. Because right now, folks, look at the calendar. It's February 17th. We have passed the halfway mark of February, and usually Izzo teams are clicking. And at this point in the year, it's not like you are going to be blessed by some magical basketball fairy sprinkled with some dust, and you are going to totally transform into this awe-inspiring team that can make a run at the Final Four. Right now, what you are seeing from Michigan State basketball is what you are going to get. 5 regular season games left. Thomas Kithier led the bench production with 6 points. 3 for 3 from the floor. Marcus Bingham played just 7 minutes. 2 points for him. Foster Lawyer, 4 minutes. 1 point for him. Kyle Ahrens, 15 minutes. 5 points for him. But again, it's the same old song, man. Same old song, just a different day. Winston and Tillman leading the way, and we're questioning what other players can come in and give consistent success. And, oh, yeah. You know who really needs to come to the front of the congregation right now? Gabe Brown. We cannot ignore how ghostly Gabe Brown has looked throughout these past 5 games. I mean, I don't know what's happened. Is the flu bug, has it been that bad for him? But there was a moment, again, I point to the middle of the season, where we were seeing Gabe Brown be that energizer bunny that he is, coming off the bench, giving you rebounding, giving you great defense, giving you great energy, able to hit that three-pointer, you know, even drive and show off his athleticism from time to time. Gabe Brown is on a billboard and in your fridge on that milk carton with a missing label on it. He has hit 1 3-pointer in the last 5 games. He has gone 0-4 in 3 of the last 5 games, including that 0-for-2 0-point performance against Maryland on Saturday evening. I don't know what has happened. And one of the big thoughts that come to my mind, which you can't measure, and a part of me, the emotional human side of Al Martin, I'm taking off my analytical hat here, wants to think about the fact that we don't really know what this team is going through emotionally due to the passing of Cassius Winston's brother. You know, it's amazing. Every time I see Cassius out there playing, it's just amazing to me that he can just go out there and just play. You know, basketball has become his escape. But you better believe that when right before his head hits that pillow, it's on his mind. When he's going to class, it's on his mind. When he's getting phone calls from friends and family, it's on his mind. And this wasn't just the death that affected him, but the entire team, the coaching staff as well. Look, I'm not trying to sit up here and justify how bad Michigan State has played, but when you look at how off this team has been, especially at this point in the year, you can't help but think about it. But folks, my confidence in this team isn't real high. You know, this team has gone from me standing on the Breslin Center hardwood at MSU Madness and pumping this crowd up by saying, you guys are, for the first time in program history, the preseason number one team in the nation. It's gone from that now to Michigan State being a six, seven, eight seed in the tournament. Probably a team that's going to play on Thursday to open up the Big Ten tournament. And also a team that I could see, I hate to put bad juju, as my mom would call it, bad juju out in the air. But this is a team I could see going out early in the tournament. Can you not? You know, the inconsistency of play, not knowing what you're going to get from some of these young players like Rocket Watts and Marcus Bingham and, you know, Gabe Brown going ghost. And it's just the same story. We know Winston and Tillman are going to do what they do. But can anybody else step up? I mean, it's all about matchups when it comes to tourney time. If they run into a team that is a matchup problem and you're getting no production other than your two usual suspects, yeah, they can lose. They can lose early. You know, what does the inside the NBA crew always say? 1-2-3 Cancun? Yeah, they could go on vacay early. They could start spring break a little early. I can see that. And then it's hard for me. You know, you look at teams like Maryland. You know, and shout out to Anthony Cowan. Man, that dude's a baller. You know, hitting big-time three-pointers, big-time shots in big moments. That's what stars do, and he was phenomenal. In those final moments, Anthony Cowan was phenomenal. Also, you got to give a shout out to Jalen Smith as well. He played really well. Cowan had 24, Smith had 17, but I'm looking at the Maryland Terrapins right now. I'm looking at Penn State right now. Heck, have you seen the team down the road recently? Have you seen the Michigan Wolverines? A team that gave Michigan State one of those L's in these last five games. Michigan is playing really good basketball. I question just how much of an impact the Isaiah Livers injury or return was going to have once he came back, and it's improved this team a lot. It's had a big impact, and I questioned it at first. But you look at all these other teams, and you look at Michigan State, and you say to yourself, it gives you a bad taste. So I think fans need to temper the expectations when it comes to this team right now, if you haven't already. Got to say it, man. And that was supposed to be a great night. You know, you had the 2000 national championship team in the house being honored. You know, Mo Pete, my team, Cleaves, and the rest of the squad in the house for that. You know, Mel Tucker also addressed the crowd, like, you know, around like the first time out, I think it was like 5 minutes into the game with a Michigan State men's basketball jersey on, saying we are going to be, I guess this is like the mantra for MSU football next season. We're going to be relentless and pump the crowd up. And then Michigan State blows it in the final moments, 14-0 run, Maryland wins. Oh, boy, let's hit our final break when we come back. I want to talk with Connor Mathis. We'll finish on some high school basketball as we dive into a story Connor has been following from the start, the Langsburg and Potterville scoring dispute. We'll be right back. Kind of, let's get right to it, man. To close out the show, you have been following the Langsburg and Potterville scoring dispute, which is going to be revisited, I believe, at the beginning of March to determine final standings. For our listeners that don't know anything about the story, they may be hearing about it for the first time, didn't get a chance to hear you address it at first. Can you give us the background real quick? As quick as you can, I guess, with you know, 7 minutes left. And also let us know where we're at right now.
So essentially what had happened was back in January, Langsburg basketball had traveled to Potterville, and it was a conference game. Both teams were undefeated at that point in the season. Potterville ends up winning this game but by a point. But during the game, there was a scoring discrepancy where points were taken away from Langsburg, and they were not added. The situation was tried to remedy the situation in game. There was a delay by the Potterville score table to where the refs weren't able to address it immediately, which is counter to what the MHSAA rules are on the matter. And as a result, Potterville ended up getting credited with 2 points that didn't exist. Langsburg initially, this scoring discrepancy was Langsburg lost points and Potterville gained points. They fixed the Langsburg losing points. They did not fix the Potterville gaining the extra point. The points were allegedly came from a layup from a player who was not on the court for Potterville when that happened. So Langsburg then filed an appeal with the MHSAA and the CMAC. And that's kind of where we've been up to now, where, you know, the CMAC had a meeting with their athletic directors. They went over possible solutions. They came to a solution that the game would not negatively impact any team for the rest of the season. But at March 2nd meeting, they have to determine the final standings. And the MHSAA has said that they can't get involved with this because once the game ends, it stops being under their jurisdiction and apparently goes to the jurisdiction of the individual leagues in high school basketball. And the other wrinkle to this is that after I reviewed some other things, does not appear to be the first time that this has happened with Potterville having a scoring discrepancy benefit them. There were at least two other incidents. One in 2006-2007 where Bath lost on a Potterville scoring discrepancy, and another unnamed CMAC coach came forward to me and said that, yeah, we've had scoring issues at Potterville before, but those scoring issues for that unnamed CMAC coach did not affect the final outcome of the game.
So, that's a lot, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to this story, again, they say that this will not negatively impact the result of the standings when it comes to how? Like, I mean,
during the course of the season, they're kind of putting a pause on it. So neither team,
like the game is a wash.
The game didn't happen. But the problem is that now, right now in the standings, Langsburg beat Potterville Friday. So now Langsburg's in second place. The end of the season, the league's gonna ultimately have to say if the game counted or not. So that can have implications on tiebreakers for the one and the two seed.
So it sounds to me like they're hoping and praying that Langsburg and Potterville are not involved in some kind of situation in which they are tied for the conference, mm-hmm. and they have to address this. Mm-hmm. They are hoping that one of these teams separates themselves enough so that they don't have to deal with it.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds
essentially.
Like. That's basically what they're doing, right?
Yeah, and the problem has become that it's not making people happy because you had Langsburg coach saying, well, why don't we just vacate it entirely? Just have it not count, period. Which to me seems like a more irrational idea because if you have it vacated entirely, then it can't hurt anybody and it can't benefit anybody and it eliminates a tiebreaker issue because the season settles it.
Would it, with both of those teams being a game behind essentially in comparison to the rest of the teams in the conference, though, would the rest of the teams in the conference benefit due to that game not happening?
I don't think so because right now the conference leader is Pomona Westphalia, and they have a tiebreaker over Potterville. They have they beat Potterville at home. PW has split with Langsburg though on the year, with both teams winning at their respective home courts.
So current standings, real quick, what do they look like now?
PW 9-1 top of the conference. Langsburg number 2 at 9-2, and then Potterville number 3 at 9-2. But with Langsburg currently having the tiebreaker over Potterville because they beat them on Friday.
A minute left. You got to address this. You put out a piece that talked about this not being the first time that this has possibly happened. How in the world does that happen? Is this the same scorekeeper?
That's the thing. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I have both incidents have very similar situations happening. In the Bass situation, there was a dispute at the scorer's table. But the refs had left the court, and once the refs leave the court, they can't do anything about it. And again, the Bath situation, just like the Langsburg one, was caught on video. So this has happened at least twice.
Wow!
With another coach who chose to remain unnamed because of how the conference is going.
Yeah, he wanted to remain anonymous. Okay,
so
All right.
It's happened at least two times, and possibly a third.
We'll keep us posted, brother. Yeah. Because again, if they are tied, we're going to have a really interesting conversation. But thank you guys so much for listening to this Monday edition of the show. We'll talk NBA All-Star tomorrow. Be easy, people.